Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts
brains, and welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney. This is the spot. Where are you at? You're at the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp. Oops. And the responses are never dull. We're going to Sweden today. And it's cold, she said. Okay, you guys got your parkas and your boots and your UGG boots and all that good stuff. We're visiting with Linda Westlund. We're going to talk about being an empath. What does that look like? What does that feel like? And, you know, how do you express that when you're a young woman? Older women or older people, they grow into that maturity. They understand. They have life experiences. But when you face that head on and you're in anywhere between, we'll say 13 and 25, it's a quandary. It's scary because you've never experienced it. You don't know how to express it. Do people understand? What is the benefits of being an empath? A lot of people look at it as a negative, but it's not. It can be of great benefit. And guess what else, brains? She says she's got some healing angels. We want to meet them. So let's welcome her all the way from Sweden, Linda Westlund. Hello, beautiful. How are you?
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me. I'm good. A bit cold.
Yeah.
A bit chilly.
I'm excited. It's getting a little chillier here. That's why I have on, you know, a sweatshirt. But the weather in Sweden, I mean, I bet it really gets cold. Are you a skier or do you like to go out and do, you know,
things? No, I hate winter. But I've come to love having cold baths. That's my savior. It's amazing. It's a beautiful reset for your mind and your nervous system.
I know. And you love that. You know, I was looking at some of your previous videos and I looked at one from 2018 and you talk about rhythm. And you talk about the patterns and the cycles that we go through. I joined a women's drum circle. Actually, we got a class this coming weekend. But it is something about that cadence, that motion, that rhythm, that cycle of life that keeps us going, that keeps us engaged. Can you tell us a little bit about your perspective on rhythm?
On rhythm, yeah. I talk a lot about living kind of a cyclical life instead of this linear life. I think we have to move with the cycle of, you know, of nature and just go with that flow. And I tend to use the moon cycle a lot. That helps me a lot.
It is, you know, but finding your rhythm, finding that point, being comfortable with that. How do you encourage people to seek that out?
You know, it's all about reconnecting with your soul, with your heart, because people will try to push you into their rhythm, or maybe not. Maybe it's even not a rhythm. It's kind of just this steady pace.
Steady or a decline.
Yeah.
There's a lot of negative noise outside influences. And you are an empath and you're empathic, you are so hypersensitive and hypervigilant to everything around you.
Yeah.
You can cry at the drop of a hat, but also you're very insightful because you can gauge the pulse of individuals in the room, in your area, or even, you know, family members. It ignites your intuitive nature. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. You know, I've been a highly sensitive person all of my life, of course, but I didn't realize that until maybe in my early 30s or something. And I wish that was the thing earlier so that you could, you know, my whole life I've been struggling and trying to to find ways of being and expressing myself in this world without breaking, without burnout. Because when you are highly sensitive and an empath, like you say, you feel everything. You feel everyone you meet. You feel, that's why I also work with the moon, because we tend to be sensitive to energies out there as well.
I am. When it's a full moon, you know, I just have to fasten my seatbelt. I don't know which way it's going to take me.
Exactly. And, you know, I meet a lot of people who have, who think they are wrong, they are weird, they are, you know, struggling in this world because no one told them that they are fine just the way they are.
But what is the benefit of being an empath in a way, you know, and sharing that with others? Because my mother always had a saying. She always said, never give people ammunition to fight you with. Mm. And so what they will do is, instead of trying to embrace that, nurture it, and use it for their benefit, oh, she's a crybaby. She's a hypochondriac. She's whiny. You know, I can't get along with her. Everything is, you know, everything is about her. Mm. How do you share that with others and still allow yourself to be who you are, but put them in their damn place?
I think it's so important for a highly sensitive to really be aware of your boundaries and feel into what's yours and what's not. What are my energies and what does not belong to me? And if you start there, so that you don't get the energies mixed up, so that you feel that this is me, this is me, this is my soul, this is my body, this is my sphere. Mm-hmm. It's so much easier to also meet other people. And, you know, in my work, I could not do the work I do without this sensitivity and being able to go beyond what seems to be the problem or what people struggle with. I can sense what's behind that. It is really a blessing to be highly sensitive, but it can also be hard sometimes, of course, but just, you know, embracing that you are a highly sensitive or an empath.
How does that work in relationships? You know, I'm empathic, but again, I have learned to manage mine. You know, like you said, separate your stuff from other folks' stuff. It's like separating the laundry. You got to separate the whites from the color. You know, exactly. You got to wash them separately. But you fluff and dry everything and it comes out wonderful. When you're in relationships, it takes on a whole different meaning because now not only are you empathic, but you add in the ingredients of love, intimacy, jealousy, fear, finance. You know, how do people sort that out? I mean,
easy. My husband is not a highly sensitive, not at all. So I kind of had to educate him, and you know, he realizes that he can't understand me fully. He can't. He just can't. And I'm okay with that because he respects me. Mm-hmm. You know, so you don't have to understand everything about the highly sensitive person, but you have to respect that what they feel and experience is real.
Okay.
And it has nothing to do with, you know, you aren't too sensitive. You're just different. You're just differently wired. And when you educate people on that, that it's not, like you say, hypochondria, it's not being overly sensitive or like a crybaby. It has to do with a different kind of nervous system that picks up on so many small details and so many things. And that is why we need extra care, maybe extra sleep, be gentle with ourselves.
Right. Exercise, diet.
Yeah.
The work-life balance. So many people are off kilter, especially after COVID. Dial back a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your upbringing and when you realized that you had these gifts.
Yeah, when I look back, I realized that I kind of talked to God and angels since I was maybe 5-6 years old. But then I pushed that away. And, you know, I was this highly sensitive person, and highly sensitives are oftentimes open spiritually and have that connection to other realms as well. But it can be hard to handle. So I guess my kind of first awakening, or whatever you want to call it, was in my early 20s. When I went to a meditation course and suddenly I saw green healing light in my hands.
Wow.
And a guide came to me and showed me what to do with this. And I was freaked out.
Wow. I know you were. You were like, oh my God, was I touched by aliens? What was going on with that?
I am really intuitive, but I'm also a science nerd. And, you know, I really like to have the proof of everything and dig into that. So it took some time for me to really embrace what was going on. But I explored it over the years and kind of landed in this. You can be really spiritual and be on this earth and be in the ordinary life. But it was hard. It was hard.
It really was hard. How did you share that with friends and family initially? Did they think, like, you know?
I didn't.
She's on Hero West or something. You know, she's tripping.
I didn't share it with my family at first, but with close friends. Because I, you know, my parents are lovely people, but I guess it was kind of hard to have a highly sensitive kid that they maybe couldn't really understand fully.
And then, you know, like I said, you were new to this, so it was no way for you to really explain what was going on. And a lot of times this is epigenetics. This is generational. Maybe your grandmother, maybe your great grandmother, maybe your great aunt had these gifts as well, and you were never able to really channel them. So how did you develop your gifts? Did you, you know, you said you went to a retreat, but did you work with a coach? Did you work with a teacher? Because I have a friend right now that is going through a lot of turmoil. Her gift is overwhelming her because she suppressed it so long. It's, again, like, you know, suppressing gases. It's going to eventually explode. And so I really want to have her listen to interviews and work with people like you that can help her guide, that understand how to use this gift, because it can cause you to have a meltdown too.
Absolutely. I would say my kind of second awakening was 10 years ago when I quit eating sugar, and suddenly my channel opened really, really quickly, and I had spirits standing in line to come through. Wow. and then later on angels. So, you know, I had to get educated about this and explore this, not to get insane, really.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I've been visited by spirits, again, since I was a child, and I'm not afraid. But all spirits are not good spirits now. Don't get it twisted. And you have to be able to blanket yourself in love and be able to identify that. When you got your first kiss from an angel, what did you think?
Oh, I kind of rediscovered the angels, but because I realized that when the angels came through, I recognized the energy, and I knew that they had been with me since childhood, even though I tried to, you know, shut them out for a long time. So, you have your personal angels and you have the archangels and everything. So that's, I rarely work with spirits anymore, but I work with the angel energy, because it's always loving and caring. Like you say, not all spirits are good and nice. And that was kind of draining to me. So I've chosen to work with the angels instead.
What's your ideal client, Linda? Because everybody's not into this. You're going to run into the skeptic that's going to say, oh, this is witchcraft. This is hoo-hoo. You know, she's off her rocker. Hmm. She's been in the cold out there in Sweden way too long.
Yeah.
They don't get it. And you know what? I say this, I honor that space too, because they're just not there. Hmm. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time trying to convince you, because it won't work for you if you're not in this. What is your ideal client? Who do you mesh with the best?
My ideal client is basically me a number of years ago, the highly sensitive woman who is spiritually curious. Doesn't have to be that you're there yet, but, you know, have some curiosity and some openness to something more, something beyond this world. Oftentimes this woman who comes to me is on the verge of burnout and, low on energy, often low self-esteem, because they think that they are not good enough or because they can't cope with this normal life, whatever that is, this linear life, this linear way of living. So, yeah, that's definitely the ideal client that I guide and help to come back to themselves. And I have worked a lot with younger women, like you said, who are in fear as well, because they feel these gifts in them, and they can't separate their energies from other people's energies. So I give them tools to be able to do that.
Do you work with other modalities, Reiki, hypnotherapy, crystals, light?
Some people work with one thing. I can't do that. I'm like a painter. I need multiple colors to paint a picture, mm-hmm. and to reach those levels, mind, body, soul, because I think we are all of that. We're not just one of those. So I work with the intuitive guidance, of course, from angels and guides. The universe and the energies out there. And I work with healing, different healing modalities, both modalities that I've learned from others and some that I've gotten channeled directly to me, through me. Mm-hmm. Essential oils, love essential oils.
Right.
It's also like a way to calm your nervous system and get emotional support, really.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of love language. Right. It's a lot of love language. A lot of people that I've, run across that work in this realm use pendulums. Mm. So that helps at least guide them in the right direction and helps facilitate, the healing process. Cool. So let's ask you some fun questions.
Yeah.
So we get to know Linda Lund.
Yeah.
Linda, what planet are you from?
Ooh, that's a good one. Definitely a star seed. So someplace out there, I'd say Hadar or the Pleiades. What's the name?
Pluto?
No, another planet, not known to this world.
Okay. I know they're out there now trying to shoot asteroids and not asteroids. It was an asteroid? Yeah, asteroids. And everybody's going to space now. You know, that's the big thing. You got a couple million dollars, you can get in the space capsule. I don't know. I think I'm like from Pluto. I'm way out there. I'm beyond Venus and Mars and Jupiter. I am way out there. Tell me about family. What does family mean to you?
Family is, you know, to me, family is not only my family, my two kids, my husband, and my parents, and so on. To me, family is really a lot about my soul sisters. Mm-hmm. Maybe they are equally important to me as my own family, really. But I have two wonderful kids, both highly sensitive. They are 10 and 13, and I'm so happy.
Girl and boy.
Yes, 13-year-old so girl.
Now, I'm sure that you see it show up differently, your son versus your daughter.
Yeah.
So let's ask a little bit about that. So with your son, men are more reserved, or should I say they're brought up or expected to be more reserved, not talk about emotions, that's sissy, not talk about feelings, not be empathic, not crying. What are some of the characteristics that differ from your son and your daughter in this space?
I think that actually my son he's great at expressing his feelings. And I think it's a bit different between Sweden and the States in that aspect. We've come pretty long way in Sweden with that, I think. And he was trained from kindergarten to express his feelings and emotions. And he's more extroverted than my daughter.
Okay, yeah, and that makes a difference, you know, how you interact with other people, and that's good. I'm glad that Sweden is progressive, because we're chugging along here. We've got a lot of identity things to clear up here in the United States. We're dealing with non-binary and transgender and diversity, equity, and inclusion, and the pronouns they, we, them, her, she. Girl, I have to get some tea on it because I get confused. I do, but it's a different world. And if I am going to get in line, I need to stay, you know, on top of that, because this is how people want to be acknowledged. This is where the world is headed. It's different than it was, you know, 10 years ago. It's different than it was 2 years ago. What has the isolation of COVID taught you about you?
That's a good question. It has taught me that I am more of an extrovert than I thought. Mm-hmm. I'm actually both. I need my alone time, but I am extroverted as well. So I miss those meetings, those live meetings.
Right.
I really do.
It's an energy that you feed off people. You know, I've been able to go out. I took one of my brains to the theater last night and dinner as a gift for Friendsgiving. Mm-hmm. And just to be in that room with all of these people was a little, you know, everybody had their mask. Everybody had to show their vaccination card. But it has taught me to be more introverted. Mm-hmm. I love my quiet time. I love my home even more. You know, I've been able to make some space and clean some stuff out. But I have found that being extroverted, now I really appreciate being introverted. So that's good that you're on the
side of that. So yeah, I really learned that. But also, I'm so, so grateful that we can connect like this.
Yes.
You know, with other parts of the world I just love that. And I am grateful that I, even before COVID hit, I had connections all over the world through the internet, through Zoom.
But now hopefully, you know, things will lighten up and we'll be able to get out and actually touch one another. At what age did you find your best self?
Ooh. You know, I think where I am right now is always the best age. And tomorrow will be my best age. You know, constantly evolving and finding new layers. That's what drives me, really. I just love uncovering more and learning more about myself, mm-hmm. being more and more me.
Right. I love that too. I'm ever evolving. Every day I'm changing. Mm. And in all honesty, some days, brains, I'm regressing. Some days I'm going back. You have to revisit lessons sometimes, lessons that you have not learned. You have to settle into it. You have to feel your feelings, and that is okay. So don't always think that, you know, everything is, you know, moving forward. It's a dance. Sometimes you have to move left, right. But if you have to step back two or three times, it's okay. As long as you are aware and consciously aware of what you're doing and where you are and why you're at this point and learn that lesson. That's very valuable. What makes you cry, Linda?
What makes me cry? It's usually when I'm really deeply touched by something. So it could be, you know, just my kids laughing or nice words from friends.
Nice comments on your interview.
Yeah.
Love, likes, shares, connections, all of that. That's great.
Yeah.
If you were an animal, what animal would you be and why?
I would have to say that I would be a flamingo. Wow. I don't know if you see my logo is a flamingo, pink flamingo. And people keep asking me why on earth, you know, and when I created or had that created, I thought, you know, every brand person will think this is so stupid. But that actually came to me in a meditation, and I went with it. It's something about seeing things a bit from above, being able to stand on one leg. My God, having balance.
That's a skill.
Yeah. And dare being bright, pink, colorful, even though I'm black today, but.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I tell people all the time, I'd be a party animal. I like to get my party on, you know, but I think I would be an elephant.
Ooh.
Because they are big and they're massive and they're strong, but they're silent. They're very gentle. They're very loving. They can be very powerful, and they're good and nurturing. You always see them in packs. You always see them supporting their young. You always see them supporting other people, and they never forget. That's me. They never forget. They never forget. That is absolutely wonderful. Well, you have been such a blessing to us here in a heart-centered kind of way. Our show focuses on emotional intelligence and relationship capital. That's what grows us. That's what binds us together. It's not like the color of our skin that people are trying to separate us. It's not about how much money you have that divide us. It's not about your sexual orientation. We don't care anything about that. We care about your heart. We care if you're empathic. Do you care about anybody outside of yourself? And what are you doing with that care? Because that's how you're going to get to the next level. That's how you're going to get to the next planet, right? So tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Linda Westland.
Best way to get in contact is to go to my Facebook page, Linda Westland Empowerment, and feel free to join my free group, Free to Be Me. That's what I'm about, Free to Be You, guiding you into that. And best place. Website coming up next year, but I'm working with that.
Right, but we want to talk on that just a little bit before we close, because we have something exciting. You are going to be a contributor in an anthology. Tell us a little bit about what your contribution will be to that book.
Yeah, this book is called Manifest Like a Goddess. And my contribution, my chapter is all about manifesting from your soul. It's easy to get trapped in manifesting stuff and things from your mind. But what if you get in touch with your soul and manifest from your soul, manifest your soul in this world?
Right. And I'm hoping, Brains, that you do the deep dive of really uncovering who your soul is and what it wants and what it needs. Mm. You know, we are the observers of our lives. We are the actors in this play. And so we have to really understand what our role is and play it to the fullest. So you can't manifest until you know who you are, because you'll just be conjuring up a whole bunch of stuff. And like we spoke about earlier, you can conjure up some mess too. Could you just think about and imagine if you got everything you ever asked for, everything you ever wanted, it could be awful. I think back, I was like, ooh, there's a couple guys I could have gotten. Ooh, thank you, God, for let me dodge that bullet, you know? But again, so understand who you are, do the deep dive, work with great people like Linda, have a consultation, have a conversation. It costs you nothing. It can provide you with everything and anything. Again, thank you so much, Linda, for being here on the edge with me and my brains. Brains, I need you to go in, subscribe, love, like, share over and over and over again. We want this message to go viral. We want people to understand and connect with who they are. If they're empathic, know that it is okay, but how to manage that so it doesn't drive you mad.
Exactly. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Linda. You're the best.